Creative Male Aging, a radio and internet project in which we explore and challenge many of the conventions around aging and look particularly at new options for today's older men. I'm Tony Ryan. Welcome to the program.
Retire suggests that you are cutting off, you know, you're stopping. There's something that you've been doing and suddenly that's over. You're withdrawing. And it's a ridiculous notion, really, because nobody retires from life. How can you retire from life? So even if when you finish work, paid work, you decide you want to play golf or you want to travel around in a caravan, you haven't retired, you've moved on and you've reinvented something for yourself.
For men in retirement, as we'll hear later in the program, projects continue to be vitally essential parts of our lives. And we also focus today on some unexpected issues for men in retirement, including just being at home and adjusting, as it were, to being in his partner's domain, how to fill each day as the weeks turn into months, and when his interests possibly don't mesh with those of his wife or partner. But first, as a former director of the Australian Institute of Family Studies, Dr. Don Edgar has had a long interest in men's health and well-being. I spoke with him recently in Melbourne about some of the realities of retirement. I'm hearing of a lot of men who retire, and for the first 3 months they do the trip around Australia and they paint the house and so on. But what then? We don't prepare for that, do we?
No. Many of them have this dream of a sudden quiet life, a relaxed, leisurely life where they can do, in quotes, what I've always wanted to do. But they haven't thought that through often. You know, you want to travel around Australia. Yes, you might want to play golf every day, but it gets boring. And I've had a lot of men say, after 3 months of playing golf, that was it. Or 6 months of travelling around, been there, done that, what's next? What do I fill the day? How do I fill the day? You're so focused on work, a job, promotion, status, being busy, that's what the male role is, that if when that's suddenly cut off, whether compulsorily or by your own choice, it's an odd feeling, I think, for many men because they've lost that role in life. They've lost the... It's more the loss of pressure, the outward-driven demand to get up, to go to work. There's a routine. And I think a lot of men find it very hard to adjust to not having that compulsory routine every day.
A challenge to their masculinity?
I don't think it's a threat to their male sexuality in that sense of masculinity. But yes, certainly, a lot of them, you see them dragging around the supermarket with their wives and they're trying to sort of decide what to buy and the wife's been doing that, you know, most of their married life and it's a sad sight. They come home, they haven't been at home, they don't know that she's had a job. A constant job. I mean, I'm talking, of course, of where, the era where a lot of women were not in paid work, but the home was their domain. So there must be a lot of conflict, and I know there is a lot of conflict, when he comes home and tries to apply his rules and his systems, his management methods, to the way she handles the household. So, yeah, it can give rise to quite a lot of conflict, and it's a shock to him to find that, in fact, she knows more than he does.
As men approach retirement and go into retirement, what's the role of the partner?
I think the partner is very important in supporting them to do something of their own, not necessarily to do something that he or, you know, she wants to do, though that's part of it. I think it's probably, I mean, it's good to do things together, to travel or go to classes, go to lectures together, that's fine. But if the man is not encouraged or enabled to do something of his own, in his own time, in his own way, that I think can lead to problems. I think they can be perhaps too much on top of one another and their interests may not mesh adequately. And I think it's always good in our case, we've always had different things to talk about. I mean, we've had a lot of interests in common and we write together often, we talk ideas through together. But, you know, there are often different issues treasurer's working on compared with me and different committees that we're on. And so when you get together, you've got plenty to talk about. Mm. It's not just something that you've both been doing and there's no need to necessarily discuss it.
It's the overlapping circles.
Absolutely, yes. Overlapping circles and a bit of separation, a bit of uniqueness in what they're doing. And, of course, to encourage men to be creative, to be a little far-thinking, you know, to try something that they've never tried before rather than just being stuck in a rut and saying, I couldn't do that. And I think why men say, I couldn't do that, is because they're scared they won't do it well. So that achievement drive, once you've finished paid work, really has to go.
Dr. Don Edgar in Melbourne. Dr. Anthony Brown is Secretary of the Australian Men's Health Forum, and in recent times he's been interviewing older men as part of his recently completed doctorate-level studies. I spoke with Dr. Anthony Brown in Sydney. Many men who reach the age of 50 or 60 or even 70 have to face up to retirement. How do men cope with that major change, that major transition?
Look, I think the transition to retirement is a challenge for a lot of men. When we're working, we think that retirement's going to be a 20-year holiday. And I think for a lot of guys, there's this sudden realization that after 6 to 12 months, hang on, maybe I've done the trip around Australia that I wanted to do, or I've been overseas, or I'm playing golf or going fishing, the things that I thought I wanted to do. But suddenly there's this realization, well, actually I need to be doing more than this. Because when we're working, work gives us a lot of really positive things. I mean, the most obvious, of course, is money. But it gives us something to do, as trite as that sounds. It gives us a sense of identity. We still ask that question when we meet someone for the first time, what do you do? And that's really important. Our sense of who we are is tied up in what we do. And a lot of people, when they're retired, and a lot of men say, oh, I'm just retired. And to me, that word just is the saddest word in that whole sentence. So there is this point where we as men have to think, well, I need to find something that gives me those good positive things that work gave me. Now, having said that, a lot of men do make that transition and they make it well and they have a healthy and happy and I'd even say creative time in retirement. It's a challenge, but so many men do rise to that challenge. I think, like all of us, older men want to be doing something. They want to be doing something that makes them happy, that makes them feel like they're connected and part of something. Older men want to make a contribution. They want to know that they're doing something that is making a difference, either a difference to their family or something that they think's valuable for their own sake, or a contribution to the wider community.
So many men, so many women as well, lose their jobs these days. So they retire early or they're out of work. So that's a whole other scenario, isn't it?
Oh, look, absolutely. The men I spoke to, it was really quite interesting that the number of guys I spoke to in my study of retired men who were retired before they'd planned, and basically they were retrenched or offered redundancies and worked out, yeah, this is good for me, I'll do it. Or if they were retrenched, that was it, came in one day and wham. That creates, I think, an additional difficulty, because a lot of guys think, well, okay, I've got to do something now and go looking for another job. And we know that that's proving quite difficult. Men in their 50s and 60s often have a report, you know, a lot of difficulty finding new work. And depending on the industry, even men in their 40s might. And I've heard of examples where men in their late 30s who are moved out of a job in IT, for example, being seen as too old and having a lot of difficulty finding new jobs in those industries. So it's something that can affect men at any time. So men either have to retrain, which is difficult and hard to do, and you've still got to find an income in that time. Or there's this realization, maybe in the late 50s or late 60s that are all actually this is it. And what I found really interesting is the number of men in that age group who resist being called retired, because retired sounds like that's it, I'm not going to get another full-time job. And it's when they take on that identity as a retired man that I think there's this acceptance that, well, no, I don't have a full-time job. And I think, and this is just a guess, it's not really until people hit retirement age, around 65, that they feel they can call themselves retired.
Anthony, I have a cartoon which I've used in training courses from time to time. Two people arriving at a party, and in the background you see two quite distinct groups, and the host at the door is saying, employed or unemployed?
I think that's a really telling and quite biting assessment of how, as a society, we divide people up. We value work and paid work, and to a younger person who's not working, who's unemployed, I think there's a lot of judgment around that person, around being unemployed. We value contributions that are somehow paid. So even volunteer work, I mean, our whole society is founded on a bedrock of volunteerism, from our sports club to our social support system. And we don't value that as much as we value paid work. So again, I think that carries through to retirement. When people are retired and no longer in paid work, our society as a whole doesn't value them as much as someone who is working. And that carries through to how people think about themselves. That's one of the things that I think was really clear from the study that I did. I talked to a lot of men who are involved in really creative activities. They were so busy with looking after their families. They were still doing wonderful things for children and grandchildren, and in some cases great-grandchildren even. They were contributing to their society. They were doing things in the local community. But they still took on this thing in the background that when they talked about being retired, there was always this reference back to retirement as a bad thing, and they had to somehow justify themselves, which really surprised me. And I think a lot of them were doing it quite unconsciously. It was when I looked at how they were talking about retirement, you know, how they set out their sentences and told their stories. It was always introduced by saying this bad story about male retirement, because we've got a lot of myths about male retirement and they're all bad. And the guys had to sort of bring up these myths and then say, but I'm not like that. There's a number of myths, but I think there's three main ones we talk about with male retirement. And one is that you're on the scrap heap. The other one that's quite popular and that's out there is the underfoot husband. And we know there's some truth in this, that guys retired, and I think it's during that time when they're trying to work out what's going on and who they are. And I don't want to sound stereotypical, but I think it's true for a lot of couples, that home's been the wife's domain, and even if the wife's been in paid employment, it's still been her domain, and the man's been going to work, been doing things outside the home, and suddenly he's in her domain. One retired man I talked to said, you know, like, he referred to home as the castle, and it was really clear it wasn't his castle. So he loved it, and he was so appreciative of the efforts that his wife had gone to create this comfortable, home-like, loving environment for him. But it wasn't his. It was still, you know, he felt a bit out of place there. And the third myth is what I call the rocking chair on the veranda, which was just being out of sight, out of mind, and just sort of watching the world go by, but sort of sitting there and waiting to die. And what's really sad for me is that even the guys who are having a good retirement and doing lots of great things, they've taken on this negative stereotype. And it's the same way that racism affects people. we know that if people, you know, are constantly taunted about their race or their colour or their ethnicity, that people can start to take on a belief that I'm not as good as everybody else. And it's the same for gay and lesbian people, if they're taunted and that there's this sort of constant discussion that they're not as good as everybody else, people who are gay and lesbian can take on that belief. And I think it's exactly the same for older people and retired people. And I was really surprised because the group of men that I talked to were really quite relatively privileged. They had all been professionals or self-employed. They were having a comfortable time in retirement. They were no means sort of super wealthy, but they were comfortable middle-class people, supportive families who were retired, and even for these men, those negative stereotypes were something that they were constantly butting up against. And their starting point when they talked about retirement was to bring up one of these stereotypes and then say, but I'm not like that. Once you retire, you know, you withdraw and it's just decay and decline from then on. And I think that's reflected in the very word retirement. Because what is retirement? It's a stepping back. And so, you know, the very word we use for this stage of life is about stepping back. And there's this idea that if you're retired and you're a bloke, well, then that's it, you're past your prime.
On the Community Radio Network around Australia, you're listening to Creative Male Ageing, a series of 12 programs in which we challenge the stereotypes and explore new options for today's older men. Back again to Dr. Anthony Brown in Sydney.
I've heard it said, waiting for God or seizing the day.
Absolutely. And I think if we're able to and we're healthy enough, because, of course, a lot of people in old age and in retirement, you know, there are health concerns. But until that time, we really do need to seize the day. But we also need, I think, yes, it's up to individuals to seize the day, but people also need to be in a place and in a society where they have the opportunities and options to do that. I spoke to so many men who were involved in wonderful organisations, and they might have been wood-turning organisations or restoring antique machinery or some really creative and what to me was a bit out there hobbies, but they were involved and they loved it. But they need to be, they're not available in every community. And some of these people needed their own resources. If it was restoring antique machines, you had to have the space and a shed and the money to buy the machines and those sort of things. So I think these opportunities need to be available to everybody. And it's a combination of being in the right place where they are available and being that self-starter to take advantage of them. I think there's two ways that we help men achieve those sort of things around a creative retirement. The one is having those things in place that guys can take advantage of. And that's what are the things that men want to do that can be available for them in their local community. So for some it might be a men's shed. For others it's knowing that they can join the local theatre company or participate in a wood-turning society or whatever it is. It's going to be different for different men. So that's about, I suppose, practical things on the ground and in communities that men have a choice of things that they want to get involved in because one size doesn't fit all. But the other thing, and I think this is more important, is that I really do believe we have to change how we talk about retirement. And that change, I mean, it's well and good to say that happens, needs to happen on a societal level, of course it does. But we also need to, I think, look at ourselves and ask, how do I talk about retirement on a day-to-day level? Because there are men who are retired today who, that's their reference point. Our reference point is, how do we talk about retirement? And it's overwhelmingly negative. And even though men are having a positive time in retirement, that's our reference point. And what we do as a culture is we go back to our reference points when we're talking about something. And if they're negative, even guys who are having a bad time have to go to that negative place and then say, but I'm not like that. So we need to have discussions about retirement and be honest about retirement and say, actually, there's good things that are happening here retirement's not a time of doom and gloom in the end. For many people, it is a new start, it's a change of direction, or it's an opportunity to do the things they've always wanted to do. That's not just having the holiday they always wanted to have. So I think that focus on retirement, and even if that means looking at the very word we mean, retirement, I think we need to change that and start having a positive discussion around retirement. Because as esoteric as that sounds, I really believe that's the best thing we can do to ensure that men and women have a positive retirement.
We'll return to Dr. Anthony Brown shortly. From the Australian Institute of Male Health and Studies, Dr. John Ashfield comes into contact with many men at times of transition in their lives, including moving into retirement. He stresses the importance of continuity into retirement of some of the essential elements from our working life.
If we're talking about retirement and we want that to have positive connotations rather than negative connotations, because as I've said to you before, retirement is death if it's viewed in the usual manner. But if it's not to be death, if it's to be a time of creative aging, then we need to see some continuity of those essential elements from the time of our lives when we're working and we're highly productive and we're stimulated and we're finding meaning in what we're doing, into a time where maybe, yes, we have to change our pace somewhat, but still those elements can and should be present. We talk a lot these days, or we hear a lot these days, about work-life balance. I'm not sure that that's a useful way of looking at how we should construct a healthy life. More, I think it's about a synergy of essential elements. And it's the synergy of essential elements that we can carry from the first part of our life into the second part of our life. What do those elements consist of? I think they consist of ensuring that we pay attention to our health and our relationships and the level of stress that we experience. But let me just set that aside for a moment and come back to it. What's also important to recognise about men is that our lives revolve around our projects. You know, we're a cause that needs to bring about an effect. We need to be creatively, physically involved in doing things that are of effect, that are conspicuous of our creative activity. And so our projects are important to us. They won't cease to be. And so a retirement that is characterized by creative aging is a retirement in which those projects are still important to us, still vitally central to our lives, because as men we tend to define ourselves by work, by our productive capacity. That's really important. Now, if we think of, you know, a healthy life in retirement as not so much this dichotomy of work-life balance, but one, as I say, of a synergy of elements. What are the elements? Let's go back to those. Well, you know, if you're going to be at your best for your projects, you need to take care of your health properly. You need to be physically active often. You need to experience vigorous physical exercise. You need to be eating well. You need to be sleeping well, engaging in proper sleep preparation. You need to be avoiding large amounts of alcohol. You need to be avoiding caffeine so that they don't disrupt your sleep architecture. You need to pay attention to your relationships. Yes, your relationships are important in their own right. But again, if you are not paying attention to your relationships, then there's this simmering, corrosive dissatisfaction that's happening in the background that is going to undermine your ability to pursue your projects, to approach life with vigor and enthusiasm. So it's about getting all of these things working for you. Your projects can remain central to your life and central to the way you define yourself, so long as they're supported by you paying attention to this synergy of elements, essential elements, which support good health.
It probably sounds a bit corny to talk about the wisdom of the elders, but there is that role as well, isn't there, of mentoring?
Look, absolutely. And in terms of feeling like you're making a contribution, what we all want to do is not just make a contribution, but feel that we've left a legacy. And I think that's true of men and women of all ages, part of growing up and becoming wiser is realizing that I have a role to pass on what I know. There still might be a lot more I have to learn, but it's passing on what I have to know, what I know, and leaving a legacy. And I think that's what wisdom is. It's the sharing of what we know, and it's the giving of what we know, not just to the next generation, but to other people. And I think that's part of creativity as well. Creativity's around not just creating, but leaving something behind. So many of the men that I'd spoken to had created wonderful things, whether it's an elaborate wood carving or restoring some piece of antique machinery and having, you know, a tangible artifact to leave behind. But they'd also been involved in training. They'd learnt skills and they were passing those skills on to other people. Whether it was involved in helping organise the club that they're with so that there was an organisation that other people could come to and belong to keep that wisdom and that knowledge about that particular skill or that particular craft alive. So I really believe that that wisdom is there, and that we grow in wisdom and we grow in as people by sharing that with others as part of our legacy.
Today in Creative Male Ageing, we've been looking at some of the realities of retirement for older men. We heard today from Dr. Don Edgar, former director of the Australian Institute of Family Studies, Dr. Anthony Brown, secretary of the Australian Men's Health Forum in Sydney, and Dr. John Ashfield in regional South Australia. Dr. Ashfield is also the consultant for this project. Our website again is creativemaleaging.com. That's creativemaleaging.com. You will also find details of this and other Learning Works projects on learningworksradio.com.au. That's learningworksradio.com.au. This Creative Male Ageing project was made possible with assistance from the Office for the Ageing, Department of Health and Ageing, the Government of South Australia. From PBAFM in Adelaide, I'm Tony Ryan. Till next time, go well.